One Sunday morning in April 1975, just as American involvement in Vietnam was winding down, Ralph Monroe was out in his garden and he got a call from his boss, Washington Governor Dan Evans.
And that was so unusual because he just didn't call us at home unless it was just an absolute emergency. And he was just steaming mad. I mean, Dan Evans, I saw him mad a few times, but he was really mad.
Evans had learned that California Governor Jerry Brown did not want Vietnamese refugees to settle in California. So Evans asked Ralph Monroe to find out what was going to happen to those refugees. Monroe immediately flew down to Camp Pendleton, where the refugees who had landed in California were being housed. Monroe told Jeannie Yandel what happened when he got there.
Camp Pendleton's huge, and the refugees were all at the north end of the base, but you can't go in that gate. You can only come out that gate. So I drove up, and, you know, it's a huge, huge area, and then I just remember that the sun was starting to set, and I came over this hill, and I just saw thousands of tents.
When you saw all of those tents, what did you think?
I was just dumbstruck by it. I mean, it was just, it was more than I had even begun to envision. And there was a military person on the road there, and I said, you know, do you know where the commanding officer is or who's running this show? And he sent me to this, was kind of a mobile home type thing. They'd moved in there for an office. And I went up there and asked to see the commanding officer. And I was third in line. There were two people in there ahead of me. One was Bank of America, who wanted all his staff out that day. He had a list of Viet staff from Saigon, and he wanted them out of there. And then I came up, my turn came up after about an hour waiting. I told him who I represented, the state of Washington and the governor, and we were just trying to figure out ways we could help, and we'd like to consider and probably resettle some of these people in our state. And he looked at me and he said, "Do you want these people?" And I said, "Yes, we do. I'm pretty sure we do." And he just had the biggest look of relief on his face that somebody actually was there to help. And he asked me to look around the camp. And so I started wandering around. I realized a lot of these people, they were speaking Vietnamese, but when they saw me, they'd speak in English. A lot of them spoke English, living in very, you know, in these army tents and open latrines and place smelled pretty bad and so forth.
How long had they been there?
Just a day or two, maybe. Hardly any time at all. Maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days, but just a short period of time. And all these other places were saying, "We don't want them." And that word had gone through the camps that nobody wants us. And they were obviously, I mean, you think they'd left behind oftentimes many relatives. They'd left behind. They only carried what they could carry on their back. And there were no big suitcases. It was just what you could carry, and they were pretty discouraged and so forth. So then it was ironic. When I left the base that night, I drove out the San Clemente Gate, and it was very interesting that I had just left General Key behind me, who'd been the leader of Vietnam, and I drove across the freeway, and there's President Nixon's house, and he was a recluse there living at that time, or at least living in absolute solitude at that time, having left the White House. And I just thought, how ironic this is. The world changes so fast.
I'm talking with Ralph Monroe. He's the former Secretary of State of Washington, but we're talking about when he worked for then-Governor Dan Evans in April 1975. After a surprise phone call one Sunday morning in April, he flew down to California and started the work of resettling what turned out to be thousands of Vietnamese refugees from South Vietnam. You were assigned to just go and see what you could find out.
Right.
When did you decide to offer to help resettle these folks?
Well, I didn't have the right to make that decision, but I gave the commanding officer pretty good assurances that we were going to do something. I mean, this thing hit me in the gut. It was unbelievable. And I knew my boss, and I knew our state, and I knew people would step forward. So I couldn't commit 100%, but I gave him a pretty good assurance that we were going to move ahead, and that's what we did. So we started with 500, and then we moved to 1,000, then we moved to 1,500. And they wanted to go someplace. They wanted out of that camp. And they, and if somebody wanted them, especially, they wanted to go there.
You ended up being the first point of contact for these refugees. What did your involvement turn into after that?
Well, we worked on it. I was kind of the liaison in the governor's office. Tom Pryor from Emergency Services, head of the coordinating committee. I represented the governor on the National Advisory Committee, which was headed by General Eisenhower. It was a struggle because we had to figure out how do we qualify as a resettlement agency. A state had never done this before. So the churches were used to this, other organizations, Catholic World Service, Lutherans, Mormons, everybody had done this before, but a state had never done this before. So we had to qualify as a resettlement agency, and we did went through those steps. And then we put out an edict to our people that we did not want our folks to go on welfare. We wanted them to get jobs. And we had a huge fight over where they'd be resettled. On the national committee, the mayor of Miami served on that committee, and he urged us not to settle everybody in one location. He said you'll just create a ghetto, which is what happened with the Cubans in Miami. So, but the social workers all said put everybody in the Rainier Valley. They wanted everybody to go to Rainier Valley. And we had strong letters from the University of Washington School of Social Work, good people. But they just felt, as a community, these people would do better. But we said no. And so if we could find a sponsor in Walla Walla, or if we could find a sponsor in Waitsburg, or if we could find a sponsor in Quileute Valley, that's where they went. And it was tough. It was really tough. The first jobs they had were very, very difficult. Zinn over here, Zinn's restaurant in Shelton, now a very famous lady around the United States for her cooking. I first met her shucking oysters on the beach here in Olympia. And other people shoveled manure, and other people, you know, cleaned out chicken houses. These were tough jobs. But they all had one goal in mind, and that was to get their kids into public school and make sure their kids did well in school. They realized, they had foresight to realize that the next generation was the important one. And those kids have done amazingly well.
Before I had the microphone on, you said that this was one of those things that just changed the course of your life, and you could have never guessed. How did it change your life? What did it do?
Well, you never guess in a one day on a Sunday morning that a phone call would change your life, but it certainly can, and it certainly does. And to this day, I run into people in the street. Now, young people have no idea, you know, who I am, but sometimes a young person will walk up to me and they'll shake my hand or give me a hug or something, Vietnamese people, and they'll say, "My grandpa says you saved our life." And that's a pretty remarkable thing to have happen to any individual. And so it's certainly rewarding, and was quite shocking to my family as years went by that these people actually recognized and knew and remembered that. But it's just one of those rewards. You know, people don't realize that when you're in public service, you have so many rewards that go on for decades and decades and decades. And that's just one of them. So I'm pretty proud.
Ralph Monroe was Washington's Secretary of State from 1980 to 2000. In 1975, he started the effort to resettle more than 1,500 Vietnamese refugees here in Washington State. Ralph Monroe spoke with Jeannie Yandel.